May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. Today, in our Old Testament reading, we meet the prophet Moses toward the end of his tenure as the leader of the desert-wandering people of Israel. It was a thankless job. And this is an excerpt from his farewell speech. His last hurrah before the people of Israel cross over into the promised land without him. His last opportunity to wish them well, to remind them both of God's promise and what it will require of them in return. This is the culmination of three steps on the journey, one that takes us through the bulk of Israel's history up until now. First, there was the promise to Father Abraham of Ur of the Chaldeans, called to leave his homeland for a new place. Second, there was the promise made to Abraham's sons and daughters, the now numerous people, Israel, on their way out of captivity in Egypt at the foot of Mount Sinai, the moment they first received the law of Moses. And the third step in their journey is the one we find ourselves in right now, the moment Moses addresses the people on the plains of Moab after wandering the desert for 40-some years, just before they enter the promised land. So in this moment, this long-awaited moment, building generation after generation, forestalled by the people's disobedience on the edge of the wilderness for 40 years, in this moment, what do you think Moses has to say to them? Moses decides to remind God's people once again of the covenant they have made. He has them reaffirm the promises they have already made once again. The title of the book, Deuteronomy, literally means second law. Second law. It is a repetition of the promises already made, a reminder of the promise made to Abraham, their forefather, on his way out of Ur, a reminder of the covenant established with their ancestors as they escaped Egypt, a reminder and a reaffirmation of God's promise to God's people and the people's promises to God. Moses calls these desert wandering people to hear the law. He warns them, if your heart turns away and you do not hear, if your heart turns away and you do not hear, I declare to you today that you shall perish. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. It is a hard thing to hear, to truly listen, to pay attention. In the case of the Torah, the law of Moses, there are some 600 and some odd commandments. It would be hard to hear every single one of them, to remember and commit them to memory. The law is not what you might call light reading or soaring prose. It's not the kind of thing you want to curl up with on your couch on a rainy day. That's why St. Ambrose, a bishop back in Milan in the 4th century, made a point of the disposition required to take them to heart, to take this law into our hearts. He knew that understanding the whole of God's law, hearing it, and living into it requires paying close attention. The first commandment, St. Ambrose said, is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Did you catch the first commandment there? Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel, is the first command. The love the Lord thy God part follows it, but the first command, the first imperative verb in there is hear. Bishop Ambrose wrote, it said not speak. O Israel. It said, not speak. It says, hear. Be silent, therefore, first of all, and hearken, that thou fail not in thy tongue. It said, not speak. It said, hear. Talk about getting to the point. It is a hard thing to follow this commandment. It is a hard thing to turn our hearts towards God and hear what God has to say. Now, when I say that hearing is important, I don't just mean literally hearing, though that can be challenging too in the thick of day-to-day life. When I say hearing here, I mean really listening, the active kind of listening, the kind of listening that aims to understand, not the kind where you're just waiting for your opportunity to respond, the kind of listening that helps you get at the core truth of a thing, not just a kind that helps you dismiss an idea you didn't already like. Listening like that, active listening like that, requires patience and practice and preparation. I saw an interview once with a chess grandmaster. His name is Maurice Ashley. And now, for those of you who don't know, a chess grandmaster is the top world title in the game. It's reserved for those who have played and beaten other grandmasters, the kind of people who are world-renowned. And Maurice comes across as this average guy from Brownsville in Brooklyn, New York. He doesn't strike you as the type of guy who would be particularly good at chess or who would be really into the game itself. So the interviewer asked him, the person interviewing him asked him about what practical good chess could be, why he spends so much time trying to teach it to kids day in and day out. And Maurice's response was pretty simple. Maurice said, and I'm quoting here, that chess teaches you that the other person is more important than you are. That the other person is more important than you are. We get inside our heads, he said, my opinions, my own ideas. It's like Democrats and Republicans talking past each other. But the point of chess, the point when you play chess, is to realize that the other person has valid points and that you have to get inside their head. It's not my best idea that counts, it's your best idea. And how am I gonna beat you at chess? It's by really studying what it is that you want. What a novel idea to invest our time listening, learning, not just our best moves, but another person's best ideas, to treat the person you are trying to understand as if they are more important than you, to listen, to truly listen to what they bring to the table. Friends, we live in a time when listening is overlooked and underrated. We live in a culture of seemingly endless distraction, ruled by a 24-hour news cycle, powered by a near-constant stream of limitless information. So the question before us today, my friends, isn't whether or not God has something to say. The question is whether we will take time to listen. God is speaking, my friends, not just, or maybe not even that often, from the pulpit, not from the mouth of experts and analysts and self-help gurus and the like. No, my friends, God is speaking every time we set time aside to listen. When we leave the screens in the other room and take a moment to sit still and to pray, when we decide to stop reading the opinions of people we don't know, and actually make time to talk to our neighbors right next door. Will you set time aside to practice this kind of hearing, this kind of listening? Will you set time aside to hear what God has to say to you today? I guarantee you that doing so will be well worth your time. During my first year of seminary, I signed up to take ancient Greek. And I was excited for the opportunity to look at ancient texts in their original form. I looked forward to reading the original documents of our ancient faith. I had my own experience of learning a second language, so I thought that I was ready. But I didn't quite know what I was signing up for by trying to learn a language that wasn't really spoken. To tell you the truth, I don't really remember much from that year in Greek. But I do remember my experience of it, the feeling of slowing down with ancient words, the very same ones I speed through Sunday after Sunday after Sunday as I sit in church. And what I remember very clearly is what one of my professors said about what it's like to learn these ancient languages. This professor said that you don't take ancient languages just so that you can master them. You take them so that you learn to listen better, so that the struggle of slowing down and chewing on foreign words shapes you into the kind of person that listens just as intently in daily life. Friends, you don't have to learn Greek or Hebrew or even the game of chess, but you do have an opportunity to open yourself up to a God who longs to speak with you, a God who has plans for you, plans for your welfare and not for harm, plans for a future and hope. Will you heed that God's call? I sure hope that you do. That you slow down and learn to chew on foreign words, that you let them shape you into the kind of person that listens, truly listens, in every facet of daily life. May we have the grace to do so and more in the power of the Spirit. Amen.